Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JAC West Podcast, part of the Off the Ball Network. This is episode 187, dedicated to a man who on April 7th, 1963, who at 23 years old, won his first of six Green Jackets, Mr. Jack Nicklaus. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by Mr. Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio, and he is the host of the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast as well, where he helps us remember what we watched on Monday night when Baylor beat Gonzaga to be named national champions. Aaron Torres is a very busy man. I first found Aaron on Fox Sports Radio on one of the weekend, on the weekend show, not one of, on the only one weekend show that he hosts with Arnie Spanier. I believe they've been doing that for about 3 years now. And lo and behold, after I found Aaron on the radio, I found him on Twitter and found out he hosts a podcast as well, the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast, where he does a lot of talk about college football and college basketball. One of the most in-depth and one of the best podcasts out there covering those two sports. So if you're into a college basketball or college football, I thoroughly encourage you to go check out this podcast because I don't believe you will be disappointed. Aaron also does writing for Kentucky Sports Radio as well. He had an article go up just yesterday with his way too early top 25 going into next basketball season. Go check that out as well. Aaron is here on a Wednesday, a little different day for the second or midweek episode here on the podcast. Championship week, big things coming here on the show. On tomorrow, the plan is to have Mr. Kendall Cott, or Cut. We'll find out the proper pronunciation of his name tomorrow, where he will help us get the Baylor perspective, where they won the national championship, and as he is covering the Baylor Bears for SB Nation, figured it would be an ideal thing to bring Kendall back on the podcast to get the Baylor point of view. Last but not least, at Will Jones Win is the winner of the bracket challenge for the Jay Stevens podcast. I've already connected with Mr. Will. He is very happy, and ironically, or maybe not ironically, he did win numerous bracket challenges, and he is racking up all the money. That's one of the perks of entering numerous bracket challenges and knowing how to guess games in college sports, or just guess games in sports. You have the chance to win a lot of money. Myself, I've been in bracket challenges numerous times. The only bracket pool that I have won was the one that Doug Gottlieb did back in 2015. I was number one out of 300 or 400 people that entered his bracket challenge. Hey, I like it. I love it. I want some more of it, but I haven't had any more first place finishes in any bracket challenge that I have entered. Let's go ahead and take a trip to the state of California to enjoy my fun conversation with Mr. Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio and the host of the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast. But first, check this out. Support for this podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer for my listeners. 20% off, plus free shipping, when you use code OTBN at manscaped.com. Once again, that is 20% off plus free shipping when you use promo code OTBN at manscaped.com. And joining us now here on the Jay Stevens podcast, it's a gentleman, as I mentioned to him before we started recording the show, that I found on Fox Sports Radio on the weekend. And then I came across his podcast. He also does a little writing as well for Kentucky Sports Radio. It is Aaron Torres. Not sure what network or what station to attend you to or sign you to at this time, but he's a very busy man, has been very busy during the college basketball season, especially during the tournament. Aaron Torres, how are you doing today?
You're not the only one that says that, Jay. I actually had a friend reach out the other day, and he said, "Dude, I can't keep track of where everything is." And you know, there is no one spot. But yeah, I host on the weekends Fox Sports Radio with Arnie Spanier. It's a lot of fun. Do a podcast that really is mostly college sports. That's where most of my background is. But listen, you know, we'll talk NFL draft. We'll talk NBA draft. You know, every once, you know, it's not like I'm not watching the Super Bowl. So no, I'm in a lot of places, but. You know, like yourself, I love doing this. I'm a little tired today. I was about to complain to you about how tired I was a minute ago. Then I realized, one, we're really lucky to do what we do. And then two, we were really lucky to get a college basketball tournament this year after missing it last year. So I'll take a little tired with a full tournament over no tournament at all.
I will as well. Aaron, I got a question for you before we get into last night's game and how that transpired and what Baylor did to Gonzaga. You yourself, do most people know you for the radio show, Fox Sports Radio, or for your podcast, the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast?
You know, I don't even know what people do know me for anymore, man. You know, it's really funny because, you know, in another lifetime, this was only about 3 years ago, you know, I wrote for FoxSports.com, and for a long time I was known as the guy that writes. And then they shut down the website. They've since relaunched it under new management, but they shut it down, and you know, it was kind of when the world was pivoting more to audio video. So I just felt like I needed to have a platform with the podcast. And it was kind of around the same time I had been really fortunate to be a guest on a lot of the Fox Sports radio shows. And then from there, I was given a few fill-in shifts. And then from there, I was given the Saturday night shift, which is where I still am. We just finished about our third year together, Arnie Spanier and I. So it's funny how quickly things evolve. You know, I saw something I tweeted was put in an article, and they referred to me as the podcast guy. And I still kind of think of myself as a writer. I definitely think of myself as a radio host. So it's funny how people perceive me. But, you know, the only thing, Jay, and I know you probably feel the same way about what you do, as long as people are consuming your work, you know, enjoying it, some days loving it, some days hating it, you know, I'm very fortunate. You know, I think my platform continues to grow. Interest in me continues to grow. And so whether it's by the written word, whether it's by the audio word, whether it's by a video podcast like this, I don't really care how people find me, as long as I'm saying something interesting that catches their attention and hopefully they come back and listen or watch or read again.
And I'll definitely say, Aaron, from what I have watched from you or written, I've read some of the articles, but mainly my stuff is audio with podcasting. That's where I do a lot of my listening, big talk, sports talk radio guy. You're really good. I don't say that lightly. I know the lineup of Fox Sports Radio is littered with numerous really good hosts, but you do an amazing job of covering college sports. And I've mentioned this to you before, around the country. A lot of guys, you find them doing either East Coast or doing stuff down South only or only West Coast. But you do a great job of covering everything around the entire country, both college football-wise, Aaron, and college basketball as well.
Well, thank you. Now you're just flattering me. But no, you know, I mean, this comes back to FoxSports.com about 4 or 5 years ago. You know, I was kind of at the time, you know, Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel, who are now at The Athletic, were writing at FoxSports.com. And I was kind of the guy that fell through the cracks. You know, if they were at a big game, if they were at Ohio State, Michigan, you know, I wasn't always going to games, but, you know, I was watching, covering, whatever. And I think it really helps me now on Fox Sports Radio because, you know, I do the Saturday night show with Arnie Spanier. We came out, we were on air when the Jalen Suggs shot went through the rim the other night.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we were on. I don't want to, I'm going to make you cry here. We were on during the Ohio State Clemson game, 2 years ago. I was actually filling in with Rob Parker on The Odd Couple during the Ohio State game this year, New Year's Day. So much better time. But no, you know, I mean, that's part of, you know, I think I would say this to young people. I don't know if anybody needs or wants my advice, but it's good to have a niche. And I don't know if college football and college basketball is a niche, but there's so many great people that cover the NFL, the NBA, and the college sports scene is, there's certainly great people that cover it there too, but it's kind of been my niche where, you know, I can go fill in with Rob Parker, you know, on The Odd Couple, and, you know, we could talk NFL for 3 hours. We all watch the NFL, but the day of a national championship game, if he needs a fill-in, there's not everybody that's capable of doing that. The day of a college football playoff, you know, my bosses think to bring me in. And so again, I listen, man, I'm incredibly lucky, dude. You know, everybody asks me, how did you do this? Well, you know, I don't know if my path can be replicated. All I do is get up every day passionate about what I do, excited to talk sports. I can tell just from 10 minutes talking to you, Jay, you love sports as well. And, you know, it's funny because we all have those moments in time, but I can't imagine doing anything else at this point. And I hope I'm pretty good because I don't have any other qualifications to do anything. But, it really is, man. It's a blessing. Sounds like you have a great thing going with this podcast. And of course, the Ohio State podcast you do as well. But no, man, it's a blessing. And the one thing I would say, though, it's hard work. And I don't want anybody to mistake that is, you know, to have the grasp of the college football scene, you got to be home every Saturday from Labor Day till Christmas. I'm blessed. I have a beautiful wife who gets it. You know, I host radio 11 p.m. Eastern every Saturday night. I mean, I've missed a lot of birthdays and holiday parties and Christmas parties and stuff. And so, you know, we all make sacrifices. I know you do the same. But for any young person listening, I think it's important for them to know, too, hey, you know, your boys might want to go out. Your boys might want to take a trip, whatever. You know, if you're passionate about what we do, if you're the Ohio State guy, Jay, and Ohio State's playing New Year's Day and noon kickoff, you probably can't stay out that late on New Year's Eve. And these are the sacrifices that we all make. I know you do the same. I'm not saying I'm anybody special or, you know, I should get a pat on the back for doing it, but it's more for the young people that if you're serious about doing this, it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work as well.
Yes, it is fun and work. They both go hand in hand with what we do on a regular basis. And what we watched last night, it was fun. It was work for the Baylor Bears. Gonzaga, however, could not combat with what Baylor threw at them. As you watched the national championship game, provide some of your initial thoughts going into the game and what you thought during the game as well.
Well, it's really funny. Early in the process after the bracket came out, I had Baylor Gonzaga with Baylor winning the national championship. And then I switched it because I said, if Gonzaga gets to a national championship game, there's no way they're losing, even though I did like the Baylor matchup. You know, a couple things really that stand out. The first thing, and I'll kind of go back, go to the end and work forward. To me, it was an incredibly fulfilling national championship from this perspective. Given everything that happened this year, all the COVID stuff, you know, there was a real possibility that we did not have a definitive national champion, if you will. We could have had COVID issues in the bubble. We watch college basketball every year. And for, let's be honest, most years, the two best teams don't get there. One team gets upset, you know, the best team gets up and you sit there and say, you know, I use the example today. I don't know how old you are, Jay, but, you know, I look back to, say, 2010. That was the John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Kentucky team. They were by far the best team in the tournament. They didn't even make the Final Four, you know. And so, it left an almost unfulfilling, unsatisfying end to that season. 2015, when Kentucky and Duke were the two best teams all year, you want to see them in the national championship game. Not saying Wisconsin wasn't deserving, but, you know, it felt a little hollow at the end there. And so what I liked about Monday night was – these were the two best teams all year. We all agreed on it. There was nobody anywhere that was claiming anybody else. They got there. There were no COVID issues. There were no weird fouls. There was no weird technical at the wrong time. No block charge call. It was just Baylor was better. And so I know the reaction from Gonzaga's perspective is they're overrated. They stink. It's like, no. They ran into a better team. There were 350 whatever teams in college basketball. There was one better this year. It just so happened they played them in the national championship game, but it was fitting to me. It was a fulfilling ending to me because we got the two best teams. The better team won, and there is no doubt come Monday. It didn't come down to a buzzer beater, foul, block, charge, nothing. Baylor's the best team in college basketball. Nobody can argue that this morning.
Dude, best team. I was one, my bracket. I was looking and I was saying Gonzaga. I was kind of like you. Initially, I changed my Final Four teams. I didn't even have Baylor in my national championship game because I thought Io DeSumo, Kofi Coburn, and Andre Cabello off the bench for Illinois would be too much for anybody during any game. Found out Loyola Chicago had exactly the right formula to kick Illinois out of the tournament. So I was all for Illinois getting to the championship game, Gonzaga being the ones to win. And on my bracket, I had it on my fridge. I said first in 76. Like I had it all written out there. Knock off the Hoosiers, who's just still standing tall. The 76 team led by Bobby Knight, the only undefeated, well, the last undefeated regular season, undefeated champion in college basketball. So I was all for Gonzaga. But it didn't take 5 minutes, didn't take 2 minutes. You saw in the first 30 to 60 seconds last night, that Baylor basketball, they were dominating the offensive boards. And Gonzaga couldn't do anything. And Drew Timmy, I don't know if you saw the same thing I did, Aaron. Drew Timmy looked shook, a little bit spooky, like he saw deer in the headlights, and he did not know what to do during the game. Did you see something similar when you're watching the game?
Yeah, it's really funny. You know, when one of my concerns for Gonzaga going into last night, you play that emotional game against UCLA. You know, it's natural to come out flat. You know, I mean, we were all college kids once. I mean, the adrenaline probably kept them up till 3, 4, 5 in the morning on Saturday night. And so I expect them to come out flat, but when it's 9-0 and you look up and it's 27-12, and then Gonzaga spends all this time cutting the lead to 10 at halftime, and Jared Butler immediately comes out of half and hits 2 threes. I said to myself, they're not winning this game. And so, you know, I didn't see the Drew Timmy stuff, and I'm not saying you're wrong, Jay, but what I saw at the end, which stood out to me, was Jalen Suggs was in tears, but everybody else, including Corey Kispert, it's his last college game, he's going to be a high draft pick. They look like we took our medicine. Like, we took our medicine, and it goes back to what I said a minute ago, which is I think they just realized they're just a better team than us. And you know, maybe if this had happened or that had happened, or, you know, I think what hurt Gonzaga, frankly, that first game getting canceled in December, maybe if they take their medicine then they're better prepared last night. I don't know. But, I just looked at a team that realized that for the first time they had no answers. You know, Corey Kispert, you know, you'd think his last college game he'd be in tears, and he was just kind of like, I don't know. And I didn't see his press conference, but I think it was pretty much, I don't know what you want me to tell you. They're better. Sometimes you run into a better team. It's funny. I made this analogy too, really quick. You know, I remember hearing Charles Barkley tell a story, and he said it on that Last Dance documentary. You know, 1993, he wins the NBA MVP, and it's ancient history now. I forget what game, but, you know, there was one game in the NBA finals where, you know, he scored 43, 45, 48 points, and he had to be dragged off the court. And Michael Jordan scored 48, 51, 52, whatever it was. And Charles Barkley said, that was the first time in my life I looked across the court and I just said, that guy's better than me. I believed every time I stepped on the court until then that I was the best player that was on the court at that time. And I think Gonzaga had that moment last night. I think they really did.
What did Baylor do to slow down Gonzaga's offensive and defensive attacks that nobody else had done all year long?
I just think they had the physical toughness combined with the athleticism. And it's funny because, you know, we watch all these games and you think back in hindsight, I picked Gonzaga last night to win. But I go back to the semifinal against Houston when Baylor played Houston. And there was a moment in time where I was watching that game, and Houston, for people watching on the TV, they're just whipping the ball around the perimeter, you know, quick passes, everything. And every single pass, there was a Baylor guy there. And it blew my mind. As I'm shaking my camera here, how quickly and how fast that they covered the court and made up ground. And Houston just didn't have room to breathe. And I think coming out of Saturday, it's, well, you know, Houston, they played a small conference. They didn't play a single digit seed. They had an easy path. And it's like, no, maybe it turns out that Baylor was just that good defensively. And I think that's what I saw last night, is they had the speed and quickness where Gonzaga never got comfortable on the perimeter. There were no driving lanes. But then, like you said, down low, Drew Timmy didn't have space to operate either. I mean, the stat that stands out to me, Gonzaga had 22 total rebounds. Baylor had 16 offensive rebounds, almost the same number of offensive rebounds that Gonzaga had total rebounds. That to me was the story of the game. It was unbelievable.
How will we remember this Baylor Bears basketball team from start to finish? There's a COVID pause in the middle. And I think that kind of altered or changed the way some people viewed this team because of the COVID pause that came out against Kansas. Everyone's like, well, maybe they're not as good as we think. No, they just hadn't played in 20 days. In your estimation and in your conclusion, how do you think we as college basketball fans really remember this season from the Baylor Bears?
Well, I hope, you know, we spent all year talking about Gonzaga being a historically great team. I think Baylor was a historically underrated team. And I think for people who don't follow this stuff 365 days a year, I mean, I've talked to Scott Drew about this. I think he believes they were built for last year. And I think he believes had there been an NCAA tournament last year, they would have been national champions last year. And so, you know, this is something I said when Baylor made the Final Four. I believe that there was weirdly in some ways more pressure on Baylor this year than Gonzaga. Now, Gonzaga, once it became clear they get through December undefeated, they're going to probably enter the tournament undefeated. The pressure obviously ratchets it up for them. But at the same time with Baylor, they came into this season last year, for people who forget the lost season of 2020, they were 26-4. They went 2.5 months without losing a game. They went from mid-November until late February. So that might be 3 months, November, December, December, January, January, February. 3 months, 3 months on a calendar without losing. Then they got a little banged up towards the end of the season. They were just starting to get healthy. And so I don't think I truly believe that Scott Drew believes that this team was built for last year. And so to me, they were probably a little bit underrated all this year. Remember, they had never lost a game. They had never won a game by fewer than 8 points before that COVID pause. And the one thing I'll say, man, you and I do this a lot. We're going to miss on a lot of picks and predictions. The one thing I said, I never bought the narrative that they weren't the same after COVID. Go back and look. Okay, they weren't the same for two games. They barely beat Iowa State. They lose at Kansas. After that, look at what they did the final week of the season. They went at West Virginia. They beat Oklahoma State by double figures. They beat Texas Tech by double figures. That doesn't sound to me like a team that is not peaking. And then, oh, by the way, they lose in the Big 12 tournament on, you know, the final few minutes to an Oklahoma State team that they had just lost, that they had just beaten by 11 or 12 points the week before. So, you know, I think the way that I will remember them, I don't know how everyone will remember them. I don't know if it'll be just, you know, the good thing is because it's Baylor, I don't think it'll be just another championship. I think people will remember maybe the broader story of Scott Drew, where it came from, how, I don't think even I realized the depths that they went through until they showed his introductory press conference in 2003 or 2004, whenever it was. I don't think I realized that most of his first team was walk-ons and he was just hoping not to get beat by 40, hoping to be competitive at halftime. So I think people will probably remember the entire story, the fact that it was Baylor, they had never been on this stage before. But what I'll remember them as a great two-year story, we don't really get those in college basketball anymore. It reminds me a little bit of Florida a decade and change ago when they won the national championship and the whole team returned. I think they're probably the closest to that because I really believe they probably would have made a Final Four last year. Jared Butler would have gone pro, and we might not have had this year. So, you know, yes, Jared Butler, I'm sure he's glad he came back, but that's how I'll remember them. And I think generally people will remember the incredible story of Baylor over the last, you know, really the last, frankly, probably 20 years since Scott Drew took over.
Aaron, we got a couple minutes left. I want to ask you for your thoughts quickly on a couple hires, not Gonzaga or Baylor-wise, but hires, Indiana hiring Mike Woodson, North Carolina hiring Hubert Davis. What are your thoughts about those two hires for those two programs?
I was not a fan of Mike Woodson.
Okay.
And I'm going to get old takes exposed really hard because I was not a fan of Mike Woodson the day the hire was announced. As we record here, that man has done every single thing right that an Indiana fan could ask for. And I'm changing his name. I haven't decided yet. It's either going to be Mike Effin Woodson going forward or Big D Mike Woodson. And you know what the D stands for, because this man is a freaking gangster, dude. And, you know, for people who don't follow it day to day, two things: retain the right coaches, brought in new coaches, and three things, really. The transfer portal world that we live in, it's so easy to lose players in. He's re-recruited half the roster. You know, back from the transfer portal when every school in America wanted some of these kids, and there's still work to be done there. And then you get Trace Jackson Davis back. And so, you know, the guy hasn't won a game yet. Everybody's great until you coach a game, until you lose a game, whatever. But, you know, with the Mike Woodson stuff, I give him credit. He's done everything right so far, and I'm excited. Listen, you know, people think I don't like Indiana because I was critical of the hire. It's great for our business if Indiana's good. Indiana is one of the programs that matters in this sport, and I think it's like Kentucky before John Calipari got there. I don't think people realized how crazy passionate Kentucky fans were because they had nothing to be passionate about for a couple years. Well, it's the same with Indiana here, only over an elongated period of time. So I'd love to see him be good because I'll tell you, I told you off air, you know, everything that I do Ohio State related takes off like wildfire. Everything I do Indiana related takes off like wildfire. So it's good for my business if Indiana's good. Hubert Davis, you know, listen, I believe that North Carolina, I believe they should have done, and I'll do another weird cross-sport parallel. They should have done the Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M thing and just you know, Texas A&M said, we're going to get a national championship caliber coach, a coach that can win us a championship. We don't care what we have to pay. We don't care if it looks bad optically. We don't care if we get criticized for spending too much money. We're going to go do it. Jimbo Fisher, year three, Orange Bowl, second best team in the SEC. If I was North Carolina, I would have made up some number that feels imaginary, and I would have gone after Jay Wright. And I would have said, just give us a meeting. Just give us a meeting. And then I would have plopped down a 10-year, $70 million Jimbo Fisher contract for him or something like that. Same with Brad Stevens. Same with Billy Donovan. Same with Mark Few after the national championship. But it was clear they weren't going to do that. It was clear they were going to stay in-house. And I do think Hubert Davis makes sense. And I think he makes sense because he's been within the program. He sat in the homes of the players currently on the roster. They believe in him. They believed in him when they committed there. At the very least, he has now a roster to work with in 2021. And hopefully he can build off of that. I get it. Neither guy has coached a single college basketball game. But Mike Woodson is growing on me. And Hubert Davis, once it became clear North Carolina wasn't going out of the family, I thought he was the best option.
Aaron Torres, this has been a whole lot of fun. Kicked a little bit longer than expected or that we had planned previously. If you could let everyone know where they can connect with you on Twitter and then also where they can catch your shows as well.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. And I appreciate you having me. We'll do this again, you know, whenever you need me, man. So social media at @Aaron_Torres on Twitter. And that's just a stream. You know, some days it's my thoughts. Some days it's my article. Some days it's my podcast, whatever. But, you know, Aaron_Torres on Twitter. And like I said, do a podcast 2-3 times a week like you do. You know, sometimes big guests, sometimes just me riffing, whatever. And then Fox Sports Radio every Saturday. And obviously this time of year when people are taking vacation, I'm fortunate enough to get some fill-in opportunities and you know, just stay blessed. You know, I got all, you know, all my podcast goes up on YouTube. So if you consume your stuff on YouTube, I'm pretty easy to find there as well. But yeah, dude, I appreciate you having me, man. I really do. And I'm just so happy that we got this season in, man. I really am.
Yes, sir. I am as well. And I'm very happy that, Aaron, you could come here on the podcast. This has been fun. A lot of information in a short amount of time. Aaron, thank you so much for coming on here, the Jay Stevens Podcast. I really appreciate it.
Jay, thank you for having me, man. Let's do it again soon, okay?
That game Monday night was so much fun to watch. I enjoyed it. I also enjoyed having Aaron Torres here on the podcast. Remember, guys, you can follow him on Twitter @Aaron_Torres. You can also listen to him on the weekends on Fox Sports Radio. Also, listen to his podcast, the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast. Also, read some of his articles on KentuckySportsRadio.com. A very busy man, a lot of information, and I am just honored that he took some time out of his busy schedule to come here on the podcast and help us remember what we witnessed and watched on Monday night when Baylor beat Gonzaga. Thank you guys so much for listening and enjoying another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter @JayStevens07. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter @JayStevensPod. Also, send your emails to me. Send them to jstevens317@gmail.com. Remember to always subscribe, rate, and review. It's a great way for people that are searching for a new podcast to listen to come across this one. Then remember to always get the word out about the podcast via word of mouth. The things that we enjoy in life, we were almost willing and somewhat wired to tell other people about. So no matter if this was your first episode or if you have been listening since episode number one, be sure to let people know about the podcast. This has been episode 187 of the Jay Stevens Podcast. I will see you next time.